Our scripture reading for this evening's lesson is taken from Psalm 93. Psalm 93 and verse 1. Psalm 93 and 1, the Bible says that the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Once again, good evening. We are honored with your presence here again as we assemble to open the book of Psalms and place under our microscope tonight, if you will, the 93rd Psalm. Let's go over a couple of things just to remind us about the Psalms. It has been a little while since we've had a privilege to examine them. But each Psalm is its own story, if you will. It doesn't necessarily lead off of the one that came before it, and it does not necessarily lead you into the one that comes after it. Much like the second chapter in a normal book would follow the first chapter and lead you into the third, the Psalms are different. The Psalm 93 is its own text, and it's Hebrew poetry, and so it does not rhyme in English poetry, but in Hebrew poetry it would have, and especially with this Psalm, and we'll get to it in a moment, but the way the words are laid out is definitely important when you're reading through poetry. I've titled tonight's Psalm, The Majesty of God. The majesty of God, and I hope that through studying this psalm tonight, it will help us better understand the God that we serve and the God that we love. Because there are a lot of questions that we may have about God, and I think this psalm helps answer some of them. Some questions can't be answered, but this psalm definitely helps. It's important for us to understand the majesty of God because that helps us better worship the God which we serve. We cannot worship correctly if we do not know who God is. I'm thinking of when Paul went to Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17 and verse 23. As Paul is walking along there, he sees all these different statues to idols, to lowercase g gods. And then he sees one that says to the unknown God, which they were trying to ascribe that as to the God of heaven. And he said they ignorantly worshiped the God of heaven. They were worshiping all these idols. But the God of heaven, they didn't know how to worship Him. Brethren, God does not want us to worship Him ignorantly. He definitely does not want that. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, Paul says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also." So Paul says, when I worship God, I'm going to do it with all my might, and I'm going to understand what and why I am doing that. God wants us to know Him, and He has revealed Himself to us that we may know Him and that we may worship Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, who is appointed heir of all things, by whom He made the worlds." The Bible says that God has revealed enough about Himself that we can accurately worship Him. And so we're not ignorant in that. I want us to look tonight at Psalm 93 as we examine the majesty of God. And I mentioned that the Bible is a literary masterpiece from the very beginning to the very end. It is so beautiful in the way that it's laid out. There's no other book quite like it. Well, here, especially in the original language, there's somewhat of a cadence to it. If you're familiar with a cadence, kind of a rhythm in which the words are read. So, for instance, it kind of almost has like a marching pattern or some of a rhythmic pattern that goes along with it. And I think that we can definitely find a good cadence here in Psalm 93. Let's look at it. Verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also established that it cannot move. When we talk about the Lord reigneth, makes me think if you ever were to go maybe to a seashore and you see way out as far as you can see, which is probably better than me because I can't see waves that well. But if you find the furthest wave you can see and you just watch it as it comes in, it will get to a point where it will break and then become a lot of smaller waves. That is majestic and that is beautiful, and it makes me think how the Lord reigns. Why do I say that? Put your finger in Psalm 93 and let's look in Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verses 5 through 9. Psalm 104 and 5. It's a psalm talking about the creator of the earth. It says, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. The psalmist here is saying that God reigns, and God reigns in such a way he put everything where he wants it to be. But let's flip one more time to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, verses 8 through 11. Job 38, 8 through 11. Here we get in the portion of Scripture where Job has approached God, and Job is at, is at his wit's end. And he says, why is all this happening? And all this lists of questions. So 38, 39, 40, 41, and 42, God has a rebuttal with Job. Job 38 and verse 8, God speaking. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it was issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. One of the great images of the Bible, from the very beginning to the very end, is that the Lord reigneth. He set all the stars, he set the boundary, he set the earth, he set the entire galaxy where he wanted to go. And he says, star, you don't go any further, you don't come back. This is your location. And he says to this planet, planet, this is your location. You don't move anymore. It really does assure us, as we sing in one of our songs, that this is my Father's world. And may we ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. Why? Because he reigns. But continuing in verse 1 back in Psalm 93, it also says that he is clothed in majesty. If you were to open up a dictionary and look up majesty, it means sovereign power, authority, or dignity. It's a title that we often use for a king or a queen, an emperor, empress, a royal bearing, something that's grandeur, something that's splendor, or something that talks about a good quality of someone's character. If you think about us today, the clothing that we wear, we display on ourselves, it represents ourselves. I'm wearing a suit because that's typically what preachers preach in, is a suit. You go to work, you may wear a uniform because that's typical of that. If you're on your own free time, you may wear a t-shirt or a button-up shirt. I don't know, the choice is yours. But we choose to represent ourselves with what we put on. Well, what is God clothed with? Majesty. Look into your mind, and if you can, and see the sunrise from the sea, or the mountain scenery, or a waterfall in a forest, or a proud stallion dancing across the prairie plains. These are all things that we call majestic. Some of these are great images, images of America that we like to think of, but these are majestic, but yet the Bible says that's what God is clothed in, are things that are majestic. That's how God chose to represent himself. But verse 1, it continues, says, the Lord is also clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. What's the girdle? That's that belt in the middle that they would have worn that would have helped keep everything in place, and they would have even tucked their garment in it when they were going across long distances. We see that God is girded about how he wants to be. Verse number 2, well, the end of verse 1 and verse 2, it says, the earth is also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art everlasting. If you were to look up the Young's literal translation, it says, also established is the world, it's unmoved. Established is thy throne since then. What's that mean? From the beginning of the foundations of the world, God has ruled and he has reigned, and God is currently ruling and God is currently reigning, and God will continue to rule and God will continue to reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Compare that to this world, which is passing, which is fleeting, which is not eternal, which will be destroyed. God's not going anywhere. He reigns forever and ever. Verse 3, the Bible says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods, they lift up their waves. It's almost as if the sea would rise, if you can picture the imagery, would rise up to try to challenge God. They're going to try. But notice verse 4. It says, the Lord is on high. He is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. God is in control. If you can put your finger in Psalm 92, let's look at Psalm number, or 93, let's look at Psalm number 2. The second Psalm. Just a couple of verses here from it. It says, why do the heathen rage, and people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they are set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, saying, against his anointed, that let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. The psalmist says, why do the heathen rage? He says, God sits in heaven and more or less laughs at their attempts to try to overtake him, to try to destroy him, if you will. Picture in your mind a hurricane as it is approaching the seashore, and the hurricane tries to get so far into the seashore and take as much of the sea as it can, but after a while that hurricane's going to run out of storm and it's going to slowly recede back to the ocean. That's almost the same way that these enemies here of God are, is they seem like they have a lot of power and they run 100 miles to nothing, and then they fizzle themselves out and they have to retreat because you cannot overtake God. The song that we sing from time to time, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. Why? Because God is in control. Now verse 5, the Bible says, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. As it is with God, so is it with his word. It is authoritative, it is majestic, it is powerful, eternal, and it is comforting. Now, if we do not trust God's word, then that means we don't trust God, because here he says that they're one and the same, at least from one aspect. And then he says, holiness becometh thy house forever, O Lord. The Lord's house, well, that's the people. That's the church, and we are to be set apart. We are to be different from the rest of the world. And we are to act, do our best to live a life that mimics Jesus Christ, mimics God, realizing that we are not perfect, but we are to be different. We are to be distinct in the world. Now, sometimes when we are distinct and sometimes when we are different or peculiar, as the New Testament says, that means people make fun of us because we're different. And you know what? That's okay. Because we're not supposed to look, act, or talk like the world, but we are supposed to be different. God is different in that he rules and he is forever. His word is different in that it is authoritative and it is the holy, inspired, complete will of God. Brethren, we are to be different and distinct as well. Hope that this psalm has helped to better paint a picture of the majesty of God. And I want us to think about being different for just a moment. Are we different from the world? Often think of a police lineup where they're trying to find criminals and they put a couple of people all together and they say, pick the one that did it. And it's usually the one that stands out. If you were to line us up with the rest of the world, would we look different or would we look the same? God has called us to be different. How are we different? Well, we obey the gospel. We put on Christ in baptism. We hear, believe, repent, confess, then we're baptized. Our sins are washed away. We come out of that watery grave a new creature. And then that starts our journey, which ends when we're faithful until death. We don't end before, but we end when we cross that finish line of death or Jesus Christ returns first. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, why not do so tonight? If you have, keep going. Keep remaining faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, a verse we've studied many times, says you will receive that crown of life. Just think how wonderful it will be, being faithful unto death, that we can be in heaven worshiping and praising the majestic God forever. Only happens if you're obedient to his will. If we can help you in any way at all tonight, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.